This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes, which may be disturbing to some listeners.
Today, we're bringing you the story of a 45-year-old mother and grandmother who mysteriously disappeared, leaving no trace of where she went or why she left. What happened to Leona Kinsey?
This is APB Cold Case. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
Our story begins on a beautiful day in La Grande, Oregon, a small city nestled in the Grand Ronde Valley surrounded by mountain ranges. On Thursday, October 28, 1999, the skies were fair, the temperatures were mild, and it was shaping up to be just a perfect fall day. But something was not right. Not right at all. On that day, a woman named Nancy was worried about her best friend, Leona Kinsey. It had been 3 days since she'd last seen or spoken to her, and that was very unusual.
So this report came around in October 28th of 1999, when Leona's best friend listed her as a missing person with our agency.
That was Lieutenant Jason Hayes of the La Grande Police Department. He's in charge of Leona's case today.
Yeah, so Leona Kinsey, this is my case. You know, normally in law enforcement, you don't take too many things personal. You deal with them from the standpoint of trying to find out the facts of the case, what is the truth of the case. This one is a loose end that I'm not comfortable with.
I asked him about Leona's case.
It's deserving of my best effort to the best of my resources and ability. And that's because Leona deserves truth and justice.
Lieutenant Hayes wanted me to understand a little of the geography of the area and his department.
Yeah, so a little bit about La Grande. So La Grande, Oregon is in Northeast Oregon. We have a population of 12,000. So we're not a real big community. We do have a university here. So during the school year, it adds about 2,000 more kids to our population. And then our police force, we have 19 sworn, includes our patrol officers. And then right now we have, when we're fully staffed, we have 3 detectives. At the time of this case, we only operated with 2 detectives at that time.
Lieutenant Hayes is the most recent investigator on Leona's case, a case that's had its own challenges over the years between not having a crime scene, no evidence of a struggle, and no witnesses who could point them to a body. But he's not letting those obstacles stand in his way.
This case deserves my time, even though it's 25 years later. But we had some difficulties with the case because, of course, one is just the circumstances of how she became missing. She really just vaporized without leaving us a breadcrumb trail. And what happened was, is her friend listed her missing, and then later her ex-boyfriend listed her as missing. And then her daughter also listed her as missing. So we had 3 people come forward saying something's not right. Leona's gone and there's something wrong with this.
So who is Leona Kinsey? Well, at 5'3" and 110 pounds, Leona may have been small, but her daughter Carolyn says she was mighty.
My mom was such a fighter. My mom had a really, like, kind of just a don't tell me I can't, like, she was capable and she was confident in that way. She was funny. She was witty. She had an offbeat sense of humor. She was really crafty and creative and had an eye for interesting things. Like, she collected antiques and, you know, she was shabby chic before shabby chic was cool. And she always found and had the greatest ideas to, like, reuse things. She just made things look easy to me as a kid. You know, I always thought she had the answers.
Leona's daughter told us that her mom was of Nisqually and Cowlitz descendancy and was enrolled in the Puyallup tribe, something that her mom proudly shared with Carolyn.
She was very proud of it. I always knew my family stories. I always knew my heritage. I knew some things that we did that were cultural, but there were a lot of things that I didn't know were teachings. until I came home and lived on the reservation and was around other family. And I was like, oh, my mom did that. Oh, my mom did that. Like, it was just a way of life. It wasn't like, this is how we do it. I just thought we did it different than everybody else. Not that it was cultural.
Leona lived in a little place on Hall Street in LeGrand with her black lab, Libby, who she cared for like another child.
She had lived in her camper for quite a while, and she was always out in the mountains picking mushrooms and huckleberries and just camping. But she had rented a small single wide trailer, and she kept the camper there on the property, and that was still kind of her solace, you know? A lot of her more personal belongings were in the camper, and it was just in a quiet little, quiet little neighborhood right by the school.
So let's talk about the circumstances of her disappearance. As we said, it was just Leona and her dog Libby at home. Her daughter and three grandchildren lived about 5.5 hours away in Washington State. And since her daughter was a busy mom with young kids, the person Leona spoke with the most was her best friend Nancy. And the last time Nancy and Leona spoke was on Monday, October 25th, 1999.
She told her friend that she was going to go meet a man named John at the Albertsons and that she would come over later, and she never came over.
Albertsons was the local grocery store, and it was a half mile away from Leona's house, about a 2-minute drive. It was a little strange that Leona didn't stop by Nancy's like she said she would, but it didn't cause Nancy to be concerned at that point. But as the hours ticked by, it wasn't long before she started to get worried that something was wrong, so she decided to go by the house.
I was told that that the dog was outside, and we were concerned that she was hurt in there.
But there was no sign of Leona. That's when the LeGrand Police Department got involved.
So this report came around in October of 28th of 1999, when Leona's best friend listed her as a missing person with our agency.
Nancy, her best friend, made the initial report and then encouraged me to call and make a report. And I was really hesitant, like I was afraid she was gonna be mad.
But she made the report anyway, as did Leona's ex-boyfriend. Police went to the house.
We searched the house, or the investigators at the time did. Nothing out of place. But what was odd about it is some of her belongings that she would never leave the house without were there, like her purse.
Her car, an older tan GMC Jimmy, was gone too. So maybe she was just visiting a friend or off foraging up in the mountains.
At first I was just listening to what people said, but her purse and everything were at home. And my mom couldn't see without her glasses. She couldn't watch TV without her glasses. She would not drive without her glasses. There's no way she would have gone anywhere for a period of time and left the dog outside. Or, I mean, it's questionable whether she would have even left the dog at home.
Was foul play involved? Her best friend Nancy starts searching on her own. Where could Leona have gone?
She said she was going to meet a man at Albertson. So that was naturally the first place that Nancy looked. And being a small town, like they knew all of their local spots, and even the not local spots. Nancy searched everywhere, everywhere. Places my mom wouldn't go. A couple of days later is when she was driving by the Albertsons and seeing my mom's car there. And that was really surprising and kind of a relief. We were excited. Oh God, this is over. There she is. Now she's going to be mad that I called the cops. Nancy waited there all day for my mom to come out of the store or show up, and she never showed up.
She was last seen actually on the 25th, so 3 days prior, and that was, I believe, at her home by her best friend. Ultimately, her car was found at a parking lot of a grocery store.
Leona's vehicle was towed and searched.
The investigators at the time, there was nothing, there was no blood, there was no physical evidence in the car. Anything that indicated that there was a struggle or foul play in the car itself. And again, that's where the trail just went cold.
At this point in the investigation, detectives begin to retrace Leona's last steps and interview the people closest to her. They need to know who Leona really is to figure out why she's gone. I asked her daughter Carolyn if they kept in touch.
We did talk pretty regularly. You know, we didn't have cell phones, so we couldn't talk as regularly as we, you know, as we would have today. But she was always leaving messages, so I knew she called, and, you know, just long messages, give the kids a kiss and telling me what she did for the day. And we talked fairly regularly, but by today's standards, might not be as much. I can't quite remember, but I imagine we never really went more than 3 weeks without talking. Like a month would be a long time, but we would play tag. You know, I didn't have a pager, she did. So I could get a hold of her easier than she could get a hold of me. When I came over, it was about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks before I didn't have any money. You know, I was working in a restaurant, a single mom with three kids. It wasn't until payday, until I could go, you know, go down there. And when I walked in the door, there was bananas on the table that were bad. You know, they were brown, and the coffee pot still had coffee in it. She kept the cigarettes in the freezer for some reason. She said it kept them fresher. So there was a full carton of cigarettes in the freezer. There was a full loaf of bread. There was milk. If she was planning on leaving, at minimum, she would have taken the cigarettes.
So 2 weeks had gone by, and still no Leona. I asked Carolyn about the men in her mom's life.
She had married my dad, my stepdad, when I was about three, and they were together. They were legally separated, but they stayed very close. She'd had two serious boyfriends in the time since her separation. So from, I don't know, for about 10 years, she had two boyfriends, and one of them she had recently separated with.
Carolyn told me about her mom's struggles.
You know, my mom would always drink recreationally as when she was younger. She went through some things, broke her leg in a couple of places, a couple of assaults. And I was young, so I didn't connect the dots then. But the addiction started presenting about a year, to me, presenting about a year and a half after those assaults. As a kid, I didn't know much about any of it. I couldn't tell the difference between any drugs other than pot and alcohol. It was all I had really ever had any exposure to seeing or hearing of. And as I got older, I knew that her drug of choice was meth.
Leona was dealing with a lot in her life, the injuries from those assaults and the pain meds that led to an addiction. It's a struggle we've heard far too often, but Carolyn said her mom was rising above it.
She was doing better than she had been maybe 2 years before that. She was stable and she had reliable work, and she seemed to be putting some pieces together and having some solid footing, where before that she was just in her camper and didn't always have, you know, reliable transportation or steady jobs. And so she always had an ad in the paper, or, you know, pretty frequently would have an ad in the paper to do house cleaning, lawn work. She really kind of had a can-do attitude. People would say, oh yeah, I'll go get the guys to do that. And my mom would say, I'll do it myself. And she would do it herself.
Leona at the time was self-employed. She had a lawn care business. She was 45 years old at the time.
She did some landscaping and house cleaning. Those were kind of always her regulars. I know she had one janitorial job where she was working nights cleaning a local business. And she may have had another, but I'm not sure.
Now that we've learned about Leona, let's take a look at what detectives were finding out in their investigation.
So then we started getting into the weeds of all the interviews. This is what investigators had problems with in the early onset. And I want to make this clear, because sometimes Leona's daughter, who is the biggest champion of her mom's case, she really is. Her and I may not see eye to eye on everything, but one of the things, the difficulties that we had was, this is not the LeGrand Police Department saying this, This is all of Leona's closest friends and associates. Leona at the time was a pretty significant drug dealer, and she was heavily involved in the use of methamphetamine as well. The difficulties being that when we tried to interview those closest to her, at that time, they didn't want to talk because they didn't want to implicate themselves in their own drug activity at the time. So that was a barrier.
So this is where there's a disagreement between police and Leona's daughter, Carolyn, the characterization of the extent of Leona's drug use and dealing.
Yeah, she often would get a little and sell a little to be able to pay for her own use. I never knew her to have, like they say, she was a big time drug dealer, and I never knew her to be that into it.
Regardless of the level of her involvement with drugs, Leona is still missing, and investigators keep hitting obstacles.
Of course, this is 1999. We didn't have cell phones like we do now. We didn't have GPS locators like we do on cell phones. We didn't have instant credit card data available right at our fingertips. Businesses and homeowners have more security cameras now that solve more crimes for us, when that was pretty much non-existent at the time. So then we didn't have physical evidence, so we had to base our investigation off testimonial evidence. And nobody was talking about this case. Nobody was giving us information.
With the information they do have, I asked Lieutenant Hayes if he had any thoughts on what happened to Leona.
What my theory is she got a phone call, she drove to Albertson's parking lot, and she got into somebody else's car. And she was abducted at that point.
Leona's daughter, Carolyn, agrees with the theory that her mom was taken, but she leans toward her abduction happening at a different location.
She said she was going to meet a man at Albertson's. I just assumed that she went there, but with her purse at home, I think they came to her house. And my mom couldn't see without her glasses. I don't think she left her house willingly, but she was 110 pounds.
We asked police if there were signs of a struggle. Blood, hair, torn clothing, anything to indicate that something happened inside Leona's home.
You know, sometimes you could look at the house as a crime scene, but there was nothing out of place. In fact, you know, it showed the opposite. It showed that she left quickly, left her belongings there. No signs that she was abducted from her house. Same with her car. Yeah, in what direction she went from Albertson's, they didn't have surveillance at this time, but they got it a couple of years later. But how handy of that would have been? You know, there's a lot of things technology-wise that solve our cases now that just weren't available then that could have probably helped us on this particular case.
One of the first areas where police look in these kinds of cases are the people closest to the missing person or the victim. Lieutenant Hayes told me they interviewed Leona's friend, the one who reported her missing. She cooperated with detectives and passed a polygraph. Police then took a look at the ex-boyfriend we'll call Ronnie. He was the most recent ex in her life, and he lived nearby.
They had recently had a disagreement right before she went missing, and she had notes all over her house. If you moved a book or a jewelry box or anything, there was a note beside it or in it or under it that said, "Please stop bothering me. Stop sneaking around. You're scaring me."
He did a polygraph and he passed the polygraph. We've done subsequent interviews with him. There's absolutely no indication that he was involved with her disappearance as well.
There was also an earlier boyfriend, Tim.
I made a Facebook post and somebody commented on the post and said that their cousin was this man that my mom had dated for a while, a couple of years earlier. And he was acting strange at the time of her disappearance. And they always thought he had something to do with it. And he said that he had gone out looking for her in a well down Owsley Canyon Road. And it got dark and he couldn't find anything. And that's the end of it. There's no follow-up on what well, why, who told you, why, you know, like, what was your motivation to go look for a well? And he may have introduced her to our person of interest. I'm not sure.
In the next episode of APB Cold Case,
Nancy said that she went to meet a man named John, that my mom called him Mexican John.
I looked at interviews, and one of her on and off boyfriends that she had at the time was a guy by the name of Juan Pina Lamas.
And he ended up raping and beating her granddaughter. And he kept telling her, I'll do you like I did Leona.
He agreed to do the polygraph, but he failed to show up for the appointment.
I didn't know that he was involved with cartel or anything like that until later.
I think he had something to do, whether or not he was the actual person that is responsible for her disappearance. I think he has some knowledge into the information that we need to know.
That's coming up in part two of Loose Ends. Check out our show notes at apbcoldcase.com for pictures of Leona and for police photos from a field search for remains. We also have a resource page with contact information for victims of domestic violence. If you have any information about the disappearance of Leona Kinsey from LaGrande, Oregon in 1999, call LaGrande Police at 541-963-1017.
Thanks for listening to APB Cold Case. Tell us about your cold case at apbcoldcase@spawngroup.com. APB Cold Case is an original Spawn Group production.